Welcome to One Group. We're more experts
and more solutions
to help solve your most pressing business challenges.
We're risk management specialists,
workers' compensation and business insurance,
workplace benefit solutions,
comprehensive strategic HR services,
and personal home and auto insurance.
We're all here,
more than 170 experts and specialists.
To help you succeed, we're One Group.
One Group, a world of risk management and insurance expertise. Visit onegroup.com.
I want to wish you a happy new year because we are in the new fiscal year for the government. And so we are funded by the U.S. Small Business Administration. And at the end of September was the end of our fiscal year. So we are now in January.
Boy, daylight savings takes a lot out of me. I'm not sure. This may put me over the edge.
Yeah,
what does
really?
That mean, though, for the Wise Women's Business Center in terms of, I know you guys work on grants.
Yeah,
so were
we
you
do.
Working on different grants to start with this new year of the fiscal
we
year?
We are. So for 11 years, we have received a certain amount of money from the Small Business Administration and to run the business center. And then basically we need to raise the other half of that, meaning we have to raise match dollars, dollar for dollar, for to prove that the community needs this service. So the Whitman School of Management at Syracuse University is our host, and they do help us a little bit with that match, but then we have to raise it in the community with grants, with fundraising, all kinds of things. So with that, what we do is create new metrics and new goals, and the government wants to see that we are pushing ourselves to make sure that we are adding more and more people and women that are excited about entrepreneurship every year.
And you speak all over the place. I mean, so this must be a very successful program if you're kind of an example of what other communities can try to be.
That's right. Well, we do our very best with a very tiny staff. And I think what we are doing is creating the ability for women to kind of explore entrepreneurship, but also we go right to the end of an entrepreneurial venture, and that may be the exit. So I think we've talked about that a couple of times where there are women that they've been in business for a couple of years, you know, several years, and at this time they've achieved their goals and are ready to sell it or pass it on or whatever it may be.
And a lot of times you talk about, especially, and we're going to meet another encore entrepreneur, but you talk about the fact that, you know, they have a passion, no matter what it is, but a lot of them are not quite sure how to grow it. And that's a lot of times where the Wise Center comes in, or, you know, they're not really knowing the business end of it. And that's really what you're, what you can do for them as well.
Absolutely. Just very briefly, one of the things, and Maria can even talk about this when we chat, but we had the opportunity to work with about a dozen other organizations in our entrepreneurial ecosystem in Central New York and last week, and it was all about startup capital. And this was absolutely, you know, this is the terrain where women may be a little bit less comfortable, but now is the time to get on this train because, number one, investors, larger companies, they want, let's say, the perspective of women in entrepreneurship. So what we are planning to do in the coming year, in our brand new fiscal year, is to, let's say, put together maybe every half year or every quarter something about capital investment. Should it be impact capital? Should it be startup capital? All of these things really will be coming to the forefront, and we're going to really concentrate on the evil part of the business, and that is the financials. You know, let's get going on that.
I think that you should introduce our female entrepreneur today because you have a connection at the Wise Women's Business Center, but she also has her own business. So how would you introduce Maria Wickland?
Well, warmly, absolutely. Hi, Maria. So what I would say is Maria and I met ages ago, you know, very long story, but she came to the Women's Business Center looking to kind of share the ideas of entrepreneurship that she had brought from Sweden.
Wow.
And so after we kind of got to know one another, I said, hey, you would be great as a counselor, a business counselor, because you get it. And so she is, and she's been with us since 13 and 2013. And basically, we just, you know, kind of read each other's thoughts. And she's got really solid individuals that she keeps in touch with. And even when she goes back to Sweden every summer, she has committed to us to using FaceTime and Skype to keep in touch with her clients.
She's the one. We've talked about you before. That's pretty amazing.
Oh, my goodness. I hope you said nice things.
Well, Maria, let's talk a little bit about your background, and then we'll talk about your current business. But tell me where you came from when you were doing some sort of business in Sweden.
Well, I wasn't, actually. And I guess that's where the sort of encore or, you know, late-blooming entrepreneur comes from. So I moved to the U.S. from Sweden back in 2009. And I've been working for many, many years in Sweden as a counselor, a coach, with women in transition from unemployment to employment to self-employment, you know, the whole spectrum. And to be quite honest, when we moved here, I was a little burned out working with people. You know, because it's fantastic. I mean, you meet all these people and you help them. You get to walk alongside them on their journey, which is wonderful. But it takes its toll. And I've been doing this for, well, 16, 17 years. So coming to the U.S. opened up an opportunity to for me to kind of think about something else to do. And I always had this creative side that was never really, well, I guess as with, you know, a lot of families, you know, your parents tell you that, well, it's fine that you want to be an artist, get a real job, you know. But then I thought, well, now I moved to a new country, it's the new beginning, and I'm going to see if I can make something out of my creative side. So, and I've always been interested in fabrics and fiber and working with my hands. So I discovered or went to a workshop, actually, in a technique called Nuno felting, where you felt on silk. And that was like a revelation to me. It was, you know, this amazing thing happening when you work with natural fibers. So making a long story short, I ended up becoming a fiber artist. And then I had the opportunity, as Joanne just mentioned, to become a business counselor at the Wise Women's Business Center. So now I'm kind of in the best of two worlds. I still get to, you know, tag along with all these fantastic women on their entrepreneurial journey. And I get to be an entrepreneur myself, you know, living my dream as an artist and a fiber artist. So it's pretty great.
Can you get a little bit more into what being a fiber artist is? Is it more jewelry? Is it more clothing?
No, this is fabric. This is... I make mainly scarves and bags and accessories, I guess you could say, some garments every once in a while, but mainly scarves and accessories for both men and women, actually. So I'm now a member of Casanova Artisans, which is an artisan co-op out in Casanova. So we're 25 members who share a gallery together and help sell each other's products.
It must be very rewarding. I mean, doing something that you've always loved and now being able to make money doing it.
It is. It is. But it's also been a journey because you have to kind of believe in yourself and believe that what you're doing is good enough. And I think that this is something that can be applied to anyone who's making a transition from being an employee to being self-employed. Because you actually do have to, I mean, you have to sort of divide, I mean, think about not that your product, whether it's, you know, a cleaning service or making software or making felted scarves, to kind of step away from that being your business from your personal self. Because if you connect your personal self too much to your business, you're going to end up being personally hurt every time someone doesn't like your product. And I think that's been a very interesting journey for me because, I mean, I felt when I started out, I felt like I was giving away a little bit of myself every time I sold, you know, a scarf or an accessory, because I mean, it was like my baby, you know. But now I kind of come to terms with, okay, this is my product, but I'm something else. I'm sort of the same, but different, you know.
And that must be very worthwhile advice to pass along to those you're consulting for, because it seems like I would be the same way, especially something that you've made with your own hands. I mean, I guess anything, any kind of service that you put your heart and soul into, mm-hmm. if people are not appreciating it like you think. So, I mean, is that one of the consulting advice that you...
Yeah, I think so. And I think I talk a lot with many of my clients about this, because, I mean, people come in with a dream of they want to do something, and they, you know, start a cafe, you know, do whatever. And they see this, they have this dream, they can picture this cafe when it's up and running, and they have all these people coming through the door, and they're making sales and everything. But I mean, what are the stepping stones to getting there? And I think there are a lot of hurdles for an entrepreneur to kind of get over before you're actually there in your, you know, for example, this cafe. That and one of them being that, so how are you gonna you know, actually make a living out of this, and how are you gonna do this without damaging your own self-esteem? And I think that's something that's important to talk about, this is a business, but that's yourself. And how do you have a good mix with that? Because it's also about, you know, the whole life balance thing, mm-hmm. that, you know.
Well, and I also think, I mean, you know, let's admit it, women, I think, are mainly more sensitive than men when it comes to something like that. Nothing that we should apologize for, but just something it seems as though that a female business owner would have to deal with.
Yeah, yeah. And I think I was just talking to someone the other week who also is an encore entrepreneur, and she said, I've retired from my job as, I think she'd been a school teacher or something, and I thought, you know, this was going to be easy, but I never worked so much in my whole life since I started my own business, but she loves it because she's doing what she's passionate about, and she can kind of, you know, set her own hours, which is 24/7, but it's fine because you're doing it for yourself. You get to develop something that's yours, and you're the one who is sort of setting the agenda.
What advice would you give if someone is thinking about maybe walking into that door and maybe coming down to the Wise Women's Business Center, has an idea and is picturing all of the customers that she's going to get? I mean, is there some advice that you would give to get them going?
I would say do your research first. We talk a lot about writing a business plan. And that scares a lot of people because they think, oh, my goodness, do I have to, you know, write like this, you know, 130-page essay about everything. But I think just starting to write things down and thinking about who are my customers or clients? Who are my competitors? Is there a niche for me here in Syracuse, or do I need to reach out even further to be able to make this, you know, a business that I can live off of? Because, I mean, that's the goal. I mean, you can always have a business, but then if you need to make money off of it, it's important that you know what you're getting yourself into. Because I think when it comes to starting a business, if you don't do it with your eyes open, you might end up failing. And that's going to be, I mean, talking again about the whole personal thing, it's going to be a pretty big personal failure for you if you fail. So I think do your homework first. At the Wise Women's Business Center, we have so many excellent workshops. We have roundtables where you get to connect with other women. That's how I started. I mean, I started coming to Joanne's roundtables and met all these beautiful, wonderful women who are also entrepreneurs or, you know, aspiring entrepreneurs. And start building your network and make sure that you, you know, have a what we call a bail team, you know, the bank accountant, the insurance, the lawyer, you know, so you know where to turn if you need more help. So, and we can help guide through all of that at the Wise Women's Business Center.
Well, Maria, how can we find out more about your business? Do you have a website or a Facebook page, or what's the best way to find out about your...
Well, I have a website. It's mariawicklund.com. I don't sell anything online yet, but I will eventually. I'm a slow starter. So, but also come out to Casanova Artisans and check out my work there. I have a pretty big selection for, you know, the upcoming holidays, and my fellow artisans out there also have a lot of beautiful stuff. So I think that's well worth the trip, especially, you know, on these nice fall days.
In business, you are faced with hundreds of challenges.
That's why One Group offers you more.
More than 170 specialists behind every advisor.
To guide you in risk management and insurance.
Workplace benefits and HR solutions.
Plus home, auto, and life insurance.
Why settle for just one advisor?
When you can have 170 experts.
To help you succeed, we're One Group.
Let One Group's team of expert advisors take a proactive role in your success. One Group, a leading risk management, insurance, and business consulting firm. Visit onegroup.com to start the conversation.